Metroland, written by Julian Barnes and read by Greg Wise.
Part 1. Metroland, 1963. A noir et blanc, I rouge ou vert, au bleu. Rambo. There is no rule against carrying binoculars in the National Gallery. On this particular Wednesday afternoon in the summer of 1963, Tony had the notebook and I had the glasses. So far, it had been a productive visit. There had been the young nun in men's spectacles who smiled sentimentally at the Arnolfini wedding and then, after a few moments, frowned and made a disapproving cluck. There had been the anoraked girl hiker, so transfixed by the Crivelli altarpiece that we simply stood on either side of her and noted the subtlest parting of the lips, the faintest tautening of the skin across the cheekbones and the brow. Spot anything on the temple on your side? Zero. So Tony wrote down, temple twitch, LHS only. And there had been the man in the chalk-striped suit, hair precisely parted an inch above his right ear, who twitched and squirmed in front of a small Monet landscape. He puffed out his cheeks, leaned back slowly on his heels, and exhaled like a discreet balloon. Then we came to one of our favourite rooms, and one of our most useful pictures, Van Dyck's equestrian portrait of Charles I. A middle-aged lady in a red Macintosh was sitting in front of it. Tony and I walked quietly to the padded bench at the other end of the room and pretended interest in a tritely jocund Franz Hals. Then, while he shielded me, I moved forward a little and focused the glasses on her. We were far enough away for me to be able to whisper notes to Tony quite safely. If she heard anything, she'd take it for the usual background murmur of admiration and assent. The gallery was fairly empty that afternoon, and the woman was quite at ease with the portrait. I had time to impart a few speculative biographical details. Dorking? Backshot? 45? 50? Shopper's return. Married. 2 children. Doesn't let him fugger anymore. Surface happiness. Deep discontent. That seemed to cover it. She was gazing up at the picture now like an icon worshipper. Her eyes hosed it swiftly up and down, then settled and began to move slowly over its surface. At times, her head would cock sideways and her neck thrust forward. Her nostrils appeared to widen as if she scented new correspondences in the painting. Her hands moved on her thighs in little flutters. Gradually, her movements quietened down. Sort of religious peace, I muttered to Tony. Well, quasi-religious anyway. Put that. I focused on her hands again. They were now clasped together like an altar boy's. Then I tilted the binoculars back up to her face. She'd closed her eyes. I mentioned this. Seems to be recreating the beauty of what's in front of her, or savouring the after-image. Can't tell. I kept the glasses on her for a full 2 minutes, while Tony, his biro raised, waited for my next comment. There were 2 ways of reading it. Either she was beyond the point of observable pleasure, or else she was asleep.